First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 20th, 2013. Guest speaker, Chuck Amos. God's Plan, Suffering, and You.
Please join me in reading John chapter 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through." Thank you. You may be seated.
Now, we would like to welcome at this time Mr. Chuck Amos, who is with the Promise Players Ministry, and he will be giving us our morning sermon.
Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Can you hear me all right? Do I need to put this thing on?
That's a pretty hot mic.
That's a pretty hot mic? Okay. Well, I'm fine without it if you're okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm very much honored for the opportunity to come and share this morning and to be here. I realize that the position of pastor is a tough position to be in. It's a position I could never do myself. I was just thinking, how could I relate the position of the ministry that I do compared to the ministry that a pastor does, not just in this church, but in any church? And I realized that those of you who enjoy literature, you could probably compare the pastor's position like Tolstoy's War and Peace. Okay? It's complex, it's in depth, it goes places that are sometimes hard to follow, but it's there. And the ministry I'm involved in is more like Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat.
People like to listen to Cat in the Hat. Nobody likes to listen to Cat in the Hat.
Yes, they do. The Cat in the Hat does have a message, is a very important piece of literature, but the comparison just can't happen. So, although reading The Cat in the Hat is good, Tolstoy, i.e., the Bible, is much more in depth and well worth reading. So, but again, thank you so much for allowing me to come and share. And be here on this Sunday. Now, in the Bible study this morning, I talked on and on and on and on. And we spoke about Hebrews and kind of ended up between chapters 11 and 12. Because I didn't want to step into 11 or into chapter 12 there because the pastor's got stuff he wants to share. And so I left that available to him to carry on and continue his teaching. Today, the sermon is in John. And once again, the passages that you finished in John and the one the pastor's moving into, I didn't really want to step on those toes. So I wanted to leave it open. Although the passage about the plan that God has, I thought was very important. And that's something that I'll be sharing on. What's God's plan? The actual topic or the title for this morning's message is God's Plan, Suffering, and You. Because we're all part of that. We're all part of God's plan. We're all part of that suffering. And the way we respond to it is important in total. So, we got to kind of look at that. All right? I just wanted to make sure. So, John chapter 11, verse 4. I'll read the version that was up here. When Jesus heard that, heard that Lazarus, OK, Okay, this has to do with Lazarus. We heard that Lazarus was sick unto death. Okay? It's going to happen. Jesus said the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Sickness unto death. That's not something we really experience a lot or as often in this country or in this world the way it is today. With the availability of medicines and everything else, it just doesn't happen as often. Back then, if you cut yourself while you were working, the infection that you could get could lead to at least amputation, if not death in the process, because antibiotics, the medical care just wasn't there. The pastors had a close relationship with the current medical care and technology with the knee replacement. It is astounding that he was able to go into surgery and be here this morning all within the same week. It's amazing. And although I'm sure that with the running around that the rest of his family have to do to make sure that he's not in pain and has what he needs, may at times get them to think, well, perhaps he could have spent one more night in the hospital. Because sometimes you get tired. That is not their true feeling. They are super glad to have him home, and it's incredible that you're here, and I'm so glad that you're able to be here. So thank you for showing up. And I know you're not just keeping an eye on me, so I appreciate that.
I even walked to church.
Which is amazing, because the car trip is real rough. So, what's God's plan? Do you have an idea what God's plan is for you? Do you have an idea of what God's plan, big or small, is? Yep, okay, share. Become more like his son. Excellent. The strange guy in robes with a beard. No. Yes, ma'am. To be disciples. That's right. His plan. Anybody else?
Follow his lead.
Right. Yes.
To love him and serve him.
To love him and serve him. All very complex. To be like his son is a hard thing to do because Jesus was, is, will ever be perfect and a perfect example. And I don't know about you, but I'm a little less than perfect. Although I try to impress upon my wife that I'm as close to perfect as she'll ever get, she sometimes looks at me and says, "Nah, I don't think so." And my kids definitely know that I am not perfect. In fact, they're willing to tell me at any point in time, whether asked or not, just where my shortcomings are, which is very humbling and encouraging because I know that there's always room for improvement. See, I don't have to just sit back and rest and say, hey, I can take it easy. I know that I have more to strive for, so that's great. He has a plan in mind for us to grow and mature, to be disciples, and to reach out and share his good news with the world. He has a plan that we will be the best that we can be. We're each unique. As I mentioned, I cannot do what the pastor does. He can probably not do some of the things that I do. Although, he's a pretty talented guy. There are those of you who can do incredible things and have been gifted in ways that I could not ever imagine. And some of you younger people are just finding out what that is. Part of it is just being willing to do something, which you express your experience where there's some people who call in sick and say, I'm feeling too good to be at work today. Could you find somebody to fill in? And I wish I could get away with that because... But then again, I'm glad I can. Because it's amazing to see that the willingness to work, the willingness to serve, has become an asset. You know, it's so uncommon, or becoming so uncommon, that it's an incredible asset to just find somebody who's willing to do something. It's amazing. God's plan for mankind, for all of us, was described in Genesis. You know, remember hearing about that whole garden thing? It's a great plan. Fantastic. One minor problem, but beyond that, it was a great idea. God said, hey, you, Adam, me, you know, Eve, you're there. You, me, the three of us, we're there. All is good, you know. I just have one little request. And as soon as you tell somebody, okay, don't think about elephants, and then start talking about something else, the first thing that your mind goes to is, why did you mention elephants? What is it about elephants that I'm not supposed to think about? What is it that they're saying? I'm sorry, I lost track of what he was saying. I was thinking about elephants! Can't get that out of my mind. Or worse yet, that song. How many of you have experienced that little song that catches your ear and suddenly it's stuck in your head and it won't leave? And you can't remember its name or who did it, but it's there. And you can only remember that chorus bit or that one part that's not part. And you go, ah! And that's what that whole tree and fruit thing, I think, happened with Adam and Eve. They're going, why is that? I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to. But why is that? And sure enough, that was the thing that got in the way of God's perfect plan. But that was also part of God's plan, because part of God's plan is you and me, our choice. And so in order for the plan to be as perfect as possibly could be when humans are involved, it had to include that choice bit. Bad part about that is God's perfect plan didn't get to happen. Good part about that is you and I are here, because it wouldn't have been the same if we would have all been stuck there with the garden. So God has a bigger plan, and it really is more perfect than we realize. God's plan for Lazarus, right? God's plan was not that Lazarus should be suffering to death. Now, as you'll find out probably next week when the pastor gets a chance to share, Lazarus does die, but he doesn't stay dead. Way cool. But the plan is not that people are going to focus on Lazarus dying, but for the miraculous things that God is going to do so that we can glorify Him, to bring glory to Jesus and what He's doing. God's plan for me in my life had nothing to do with my plans for what I was going to do. The environment I grew up in, the places I moved, we moved a huge number of times. And over the last few years, my brother and sister and I have gotten closer as we've dealt with family, well, mainly my mother's situation and all that sort of thing. She probably has Alzheimer's. The doctor's 75% sure she has Alzheimer's. You won't know for sure until there's a biopsy of the brain. He's willing to wait until later for that, because he says people don't generally survive those things. So, you know, we don't need to know. And honestly, we don't need to know. What we do need to know is that she's in a place where she needs our love and care, and we can be in the moment with her and be wherever she is and enjoy that. And so we do, and I've encouraged my brother and sister to do that well. And so we're staying in better communication, and it's a blessing. It's a hard time. There's suffering going on, but God has a plan, and there's a blessing in it. Growing up, we moved a lot. I talked about between kindergarten and high school, we moved 12 times. And I stayed in, well, I spent 2.5 years, or 2.75 years, in one high school, with the first part of my high school career being someplace else, and junior high we moved a couple times. And so some of those moves were twice in 1 year, some of them there were a couple years between moves. So it was weird. And my brother shared with me just recently that before I was born, we moved another 6 times in Moses Lake, Washington, which is where I was born. And that was where my mother and my grandparents moved, and then they moved around, and then she met my dad, and they got married, and they moved around. And I don't know if you know Moses Lake at all, but thinking that in the space of about 5 years or 6 years, they moved as many times is nuts. It's not that big a place, but my brother got to play almost everywhere that you can play in Moses Lake. Because they moved around enough to where they could find, so he knows Moses Lake very well. But growing up, I had envisioned myself as getting a career, maybe as a watchmaker, working on TVs and radios, working in the back room someplace with stuff that I'm working on and not being bothered by other people. Great plan! Then, out of high school, I got a job as a carpenter apprentice, which is working with other people, that's fine. Working on my own to some extent, that's fine. But after a couple of winters doing that in the Pacific Northwest, working construction, especially at that time, before the advent of nail guns and screw guns, and back in the days when people didn't wear ear protection, didn't wear lifting belts, and if you wore gloves, you were just being a pansy. I was going, this is not a lifetime choice for me. I will end up just going nuts doing this, or freezing to death sometime. They'll find me with a hammer going like this somewhere on a roof, and I'm, no, not so much. And I realized that people who worked in that realm of construction, but worked in maintenance, could stay warm all the time. So I sought out a career in maintenance, and I ended up in Tucson, Arizona, as a maintenance technician on Titan missile silos. Wow. Not only am I nice and warm and comfortable, but I'm underground. It's cool. And people mostly leave me alone. But while there, God put me into a place where I met up with a clown. And that clown wanted to learn about puppets. Well, I had started working with puppets in church because I could hide behind a stage and work puppets. And that was okay. Well, very long story short, I went from a shy guy who kept changing schools, who would rather work alone in an office someplace, just tinkering or moving my hands and using my brain, to somebody who is out in the public speaking to groups on a regular basis, either in clown or not, either with puppets or not, and doing something that before was completely out of the realm of my thought, my expectations, or my ability. I would get physically ill before going up in front of a classroom of people to give a book report. Reading a book report in front of them. I would just... Not an issue now. Strictly by God's grace, because He had a plan. His plan, not my plan. His knowledge of me, not my knowledge or expectations of me. My wife, Sheila, has this saying that she started to use on a regular basis because she's had some physical challenges, some challenges with jobs and different things. And periodically, when she gets frustrated, I'll hear her just blurt out, "God has a plan, and it's a good plan. Let's do that. Yes." She doesn't say that last bit like that. I can tell that in her mind she's going, "I've got to do this." Because He does. He has a plan. We don't know what it is. And sometimes it involves suffering. The middle part of the message. There's suffering involved in God's plan. Is God's plan that we suffer? We're His kids. How many of you have kids? You like to see your kids suffer? That's right. You see? There's that little caveat. And that's where God comes from. God says, "I do not want to see you suffer. But if you're going to choose to do something dumb... The stove is hot. Don't touch the stove. Stay away from the stove. Don't touch the stove. The stove is hot. I burned my hand! You touch the stove." "No." "Okay, I'm sorry. It's worse. Yes, I'm sorry. It's okay. We'll put a band-aid on it. It'll be fine. It's okay. It'll be fine. Little aloe." Your 21-year-old says, "Thank you." So, you know, it happens. It happens. We don't want to see our children suffer. It happens, and we recognize that. God doesn't want to see us suffer. It happens. He knows it's going to happen, and He has a plan for that. Garden of Eden, we mentioned, the whole fall thing. Consequences to poor choices. Job. There's a whole book about that, isn't there? Okay? It's not the book of Job. Although it's a little bit of work to go through because of how much lesson is being taught there. Job. He's doing good. His choices, as far as we can tell, are good choices. He and God, great. And then, suddenly, things happen. Okay? Job sticks with God. God's got a plan. He allows the plan to have suffering involved. Why does He allow the suffering? Because He knows that God's going to be glorified. He will be glorified through that suffering. Job is not thinking so. Job is saying, "This is no fun." His friends are saying, "Curse God and die." That's a plan. That's a plan we can take a hold of. We, you know, we've got our plans. God has His plans. We can take that plan and say, "We got it." You know, God's got a plan. We can end that plan because we don't want to suffer anymore. Job sticks with it. He's saying, "I'm sticking with God." He He's got a plan. It's a good plan. A little later on, more things happen. Family members start to die. Business goes downhill. Curse God and die. God's got a plan, and it's a good plan. Physical pain, suffering, boils, aches, pains. Curse God and die.
God's got a plan.
He's got a plan. Sticking with it. Comes towards the end. Job saying, God, what's up with this? I've stuck with you all along. Look, I've got a plan. I've got a good plan. And where were you when I was doing all this planning? Now, I've been working here for a lot longer than you have. I've got some credentials. Stick with me. I got a plan. It's a good plan. All that suffering you did. Okay, here's the payoff. And his blessings were exceeded anything he had before. Although there was a little bit of problem, there was a lesson that he needed to learn. God has a plan. Good plan. My life has not been perfect. Okay? There's lots of ups and downs I've had. And I will, rather than going in depth of the hard stuff, I'll give you the simple stuff. Hat in the hat, not War and Peace. Okay? A few years back, in fact, it was a day similar today, because today is the day when the president swears the oath of office. Well, the first time that President Clinton took the oath of office, instead of being completely fogged in and iced over and having complete stagnation in our atmosphere, we had very turbulent atmosphere, an incredible windstorm that blew down my fence. I have a fence around two-thirds of the house or the yard, and it got blown down. Okay. So call the insurance company and all that sort of thing, and they say, well, how much, what percentage of the fence is blown down? Well, I know, I think I can repair this much and do this. Well, maybe half of it. You know, if you can come up money for half, then, you know, I can afford to rebuild. No. If two-thirds of the fence is blown down, then the company will pay for an entirely new fence. And since you have a high-end fence, you know, with lattice work on top, if you get a fence without the lattice work, that may be a little cheaper, you'll find that minus the deductible, you will probably be able to pay for the entire fence. If you do some of the work yourself, you might actually get some reimbursement from the insurance company. I am your agent. I'm looking out for you. What percentage of your fence flew down? I said, well, I'm not exactly sure. He said, go push on it. See if anything's loose. Turned out the insurance company footed the bill for the entire fence. And when I talked to the fence company about replacing it, because they could come out and replace it in one day, which I couldn't because they've got all the equipment, they said, well, if you remove the old posts, then we'll save you some money. You know? And if you remove the debris, of course, we'll save you more money. Well, it was an old cedar fence. I could burn that because anything that was on there was well gone. So I said, oh, I've got firewood. I can make some money. God is blessing me through this. What a blessing. God has turned that into a blessing. Woohoo! So, my children were too small to help. My wife, I love her, but when I'm doing something like this, it's best that she's not there. because I figured out I could lift the fence posts, even with the cement, out of the ground if I take a hose and put a nozzle on the end and then cut out the soil around it, break it loose. I can shift them, and I lift one up. I tried it. It worked. And then I went in and talked to my wife about doing this on a weekend, and that would be a great weekend when she could go over to Port Orchard and visit with the other part of the family. Well, what are you going to do while I'm gone? I said, I'm going to take down the fence. That way, you won't have to worry about me, and the kids will be safe. You know, they won't be getting into stuff, and you'll have a good time, and by the time you get back, it'll all be done. So I go to it. They leave, I get up early, and I'm, beautiful day, sunny day, I'm enjoying it. I'm working the fence, and I'm grabbing the fence post like this, going, ah! Lift up, get it out of the hole, fall over, drag it out. Some of the really heavy ones, I've got a little hand truck I put underneath the cement, move it out. I'm cooking. I'm down to the last three fence posts. I go like this. I go, snap. The snap, it turns out, happened to be a rib. And I fractured it. And I knew that that was not a sound that's supposed to come from your rib cage. And I don't know about you, but whenever I get hurt, I generally get frustrated with myself and soldier on. There's enough English blood flowing through my veins where I just soldier on. So I was in pain, and I got that fence post out and the last two out. So all three of those gone, using my left arm, being as careful as I could. Got them out, drug them over, and then rested. A couple days later, my wife and kids had come back, and they had pointed out that I'm moving kind of sore. What happened? I know you're hurt. Well, I heard a snap. Go to the doctor. Okay. Go to the doctor. Says, yes, you've got a cracked rib. Okay. Here's medication. I love you, doctor. Here's medication. You cannot drive. You cannot work machinery. You know, you cannot do anything except heal. And they can't wrap it or do anything because it's got to move and all kinds of silly things. Okay, great. Well, it just so happened that in the process of this ministry, that this crazy ministry that I do, that I'm involved with, I had gotten a job, as a big dog sportswear mascot for a couple days at an ophthalmologist convention in Seattle. And the next evening, the next day in the evening, at their party, Big Dog Sportswear was throwing a party for ophthalmologists and their wives who were in Seattle for this big national convention, and they're sponsoring. They want the mascot to be there. The mascot is this big, oversized, heavy foam rubber costume that is about 500 degrees on the inside, no matter what temperature it is on the outside. I could have gone to the North Pole. It was great. But it happened to be 2 days after the doctor gave me the drugs. He said, cannot drive, cannot function, don't. And my wife says, how are you going to do this? I said, well, I committed to this. They don't have anybody else. God's blessed us with this. We need the money. So I do it. And it was amazing because I was in pain going there. I was in pain putting on the costume. While I'm in costume, walking around the convention center, God takes care of the pain. He deals with the suffering. I'm able to focus on what I'm doing. Get home the next day, the party. I don't recommend going to ophthalmologist parties, because apparently they had free alcohol, and they don't have a problem with getting blind drunk. But what's odd is both the husbands and the wives need the disco dance with the big dog. And all the guys thought there was a girl in the costume. All the girls thought there was a guy in the costume. And I can't talk, because you're not allowed to talk when you're in a costume character. So I'm dancing. God had a plan, and it was a good plan. And actually, the doctor said, "Wow, you healed really quick. I'm surprised. Did you do what I said and breathe deep a lot and exercise those ribs so they didn't calcify and get..." "Why, yes, I did." "Thank you. Had it been my plan, I would have stayed home and not moved around. God had a plan. It was a good plan. Suffering was part of that plan. I didn't know that. A lot of times, suffering is part of that plan. You got any challenges happening in your life? I know the pastor, he's kind of flaunting his right now. You know, it's become fairly obvious to everyone that too many episodes of the $6 Million Man, he's working on that. So, you got some challenges in your life. It's not convenient. Never is. It's not coming at a good time. Never is. What's your attitude towards those? You know, Adam and Eve, they hid in the bushes. And they said, "Hello?" I said, "You're in the bushes. Been up to doing something? Did you do something?" "No, we're just in the bush. It's okay. Don't mind us. Don't look our way. We don't have any clothes on." "How do you know that you don't have any..." "What? How does he know that we know? Are we not supposed to know? Pretty obvious." Suffering resulted in their choice. Suffering for them, unfortunately, was part of God's plan for us. Suffering for Job, a plan. Not Job's plan, God's plan. Suffering that you experience, suffering that you have, suffering that really is that deep, dark pit that sometimes we can act. I've experienced. I know. Your first thought is not generally, "You know, God has a plan. It's good." But the fact is, God has a plan. It's a good plan. All good comes from God. His plan is good. And like Job, like Lazarus, he didn't know what God's plan was. Promised no death in the plan. Later on, probably see next week, Job wakes up and says, "Wasn't I dead? I thought there was a whole dead thing happening." God had a plan. His glory was part of the plan. So that's the choice part in the message, in our lives. What's your perspective on God's plan? He's got a plan. He's got a good plan. It's not your plan. It's His plan. Suffering involved, hard times involved. It's for His glory if we've made that commitment to Him. We're His kids. He doesn't want to see us get burned. We're going to get burned. But He loves us and cares for us and knows we will learn. And believe it or not, he will be glorified because of it. Okay? God bless you and keep you. May his countenance, his glory, shine upon you. Let you work out the rest. He's got a plan. It's a good plan. And it's for each one of us.